Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we will continue in our studies in the book of Romans, Paul's treatise on the gospel, where he shows us there the entire gamut, the entire overlook of the effects of the gospel, the triumph of the gospel, the power of the gospel. Actually, we have chosen for our theme verse the 16th verse of this first chapter of Romans, which reads, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And we're concentrating all these studies in the first chapter of the book of Romans. Shall we read there, beginning at verse 1 of the first chapter of Romans? Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to zero in on verse 4, which we are going to entitle "The Proof of the Gospel." Those of you that have been listening to the broadcast will realize that in verse 1 we have the apostle of the gospel. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. And in verse 2 we have the promise of the gospel, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Verse 3, we have the subject of the gospel concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What a grand and glorious subject. And then today, the proof of the gospel, the proof of the validity of the gospel, his resurrection from the dead, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Let's zero in on verse 4 and realize what the resurrection has to do with the matter of our salvation. Actually, it is a part of the statement of the gospel by the Apostle Paul in the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, that's a part of the gospel. He rose from the dead. He undertook dying for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. And he was successful in putting them away by his death. He slew death by dying. He died in our stead. He took our judgment. And then he rose from the dead to prove that he indeed was the Son of God, all that he claimed to be. Now let's think of the attested fact that Christ did rise. They tell a story, and I am sorry that I cannot give you the name of the lawyer. But there was a noted lawyer who was an atheist. And he thought to go into the Scriptures and prove that Christ's resurrection was not true. Instead of that, something marvelous happened. He saw what we're going to see today, how that God preserves the truth of the resurrection, because it's so necessary for us to realize that Christ was all he claimed to be. And he claimed to be the Savior of the world. He says, "I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister rather, and to serve others, and to give his life a ransom for many." Now those were his words. He was the Son of God. Would he lie? He could not. He was the Son of God, and that was proven by the fact that God raised him from the dead. He was seen, first of all, by Mary Magdalene at the tomb. On the morn of his resurrection, she came, and she saw the tomb was open, and she ran back and told Peter and John. They ran to the tomb and found it empty. Then they went back, but she tarried, and she wept as she stayed there by the tomb, and the Lord appeared to her. And he said, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And she said, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not where they've laid him." And he says, under her, Mary. She turned immediately and says, Rabboni, that is to say, Master. He revealed himself to her. Now she saw him. She knew him. She was the one out of whom he had cast seven devils, Mary Magdalene. And then later, we see the 11 on the evening of the first day of the week, John chapter 20, verses 19 and 20. We'll read them. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They were grieving. Their champion has died. What about it? Here he reveals himself to them. They all saw him. And then by the writers of the four Gospels, all the resurrection is recorded in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now this is a fourfold text proof. The Jewish law says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word shall be established. We don't have two or three. We have four men who put their reputations, their lives at stake on the fact that Christ rose again from the dead. And then the Apostle Paul, in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, gives us another wonderful insight as to the proof of the gospel. We read there in verses 5 and 6, And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. 500 men saw Christ after his resurrection. Now it would be hard to produce collusion among 500 men. You could not do it. Some would betray. But not in this case. Yes, the resurrection of Christ is necessary. Why is it necessary to the gospel? I know that my sins were laid on Christ when he died on that cross for me, and so were yours. I have the authority to tell you that from God's holy word. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day. Our sins were taken off from us according to Isaiah 53 and 6 and laid on Christ. He bore the burden of them. He bore the judgment of them. He bore them into death. And then he rose again triumphant over death. And God said, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstool. Now Christ could not have carried our sins back into heaven. That would have been unthinkable. His resurrection brings us the joy and the assurance that our sin problem has been settled. Now the significance of the resurrection is seen, of course, in the fact that Satan no longer has the power of death. We read in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, these words, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, himself likewise, took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Satan introduced death into the human family. They died spiritually in Genesis chapter 3. They were separated from God. They died physically later. He had the power. He brought the power of death. And he exercised it until Christ died upon the cross of Calvary. Now he exercised it only as God gave him permission. Granted. But Christ wrested that from him. He slew death by dying. Another significance, we have the positive proof which we've already covered. Our sins are gone, gone forever. Now the hope of the resurrection is seen chiefly perhaps in John chapter 14. Those wonderful words repeated by our Lord Jesus. Verses 14, well, let's read verse 3 of chapter 14 of John. The Lord says, And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, he receives us when we die. But this is a collective promise. It was made in a collective sense. It was not made in the individual sense. It was made in the collective sense, and he is coming to collectively take us into his presence. And that's at the rapture of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we are raised from the dead as the fruits of his resurrection. As a matter of fact, he says in verses 19, or verse 19 of the chapter, same chapter of John chapter 14, the Lord says there in verse 19, "Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." This is the hope of the resurrection. And oh, what a blessed hope it is. Now, in the meantime, we are being conformed to the moral likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. His life is now within us. We read in Galatians 2 and 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, we have the life of Christ within us. That should manifest itself. How did we get it? The moment that we put our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God brought the life of Christ and put that life within us. And we were born again, born into the family of God, an absolute necessity. When did it happen? When we put our faith in Christ. Now, don't ask me how he did it. That's not my business. My business is to know that Christ died for me. I've got his word for it. I've got his resurrection to prove it. God's reputation is at stake here. Absolutely at stake. Is he a liar? No, he's not. It's impossible for God to lie. These truths are infallible, and we can rest upon them. The problem of our sin has been settled to God's divine satisfaction. Now, in a coming day, we're going to be brought into his physical likeness. We read in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, "We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body," the margin has it better, "the body of our humiliation, who shall change the body of our humiliation, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." We will be in his physical likeness in the glory. Our Father today, give us the faith to rest and trust in the finished work of Christ, proven by the resurrection from the dead. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.